I wonder what you're making of it. Have you all thought you'd worked out what you would do? Maybe some of you have already done that, because someone's done exactly that to you in your place of work. That would be exciting. I mean, it's a really good exercise to do, isn't it? Because you never know when someone might say that to you on the street or in the gym or at work or whatever, in your coffee break. And you haven't got a lot of time to faff around. You can't give them a sermon with 3 points. There isn't a right or wrong answer, by the way. I do think you've got to be fast. Most things have got to be done in about 20 seconds. So don't think you've got to sit down and talk religious. I think that's one thing I'd say. Just don't go religious on people. Try and use their language. If we're talking about a new spiritual birth here, I would think one of the most important things you could do is to say, "Can I pray for you?" But you might need to prelude that by why. You know, they might not realize why you want to pray. And Acts 2 would be a good chapter to read. This is Acts 2, where Peter talks to the... I mean, it is a sermon, but you'd need to work it out in about three words, what he's saying. But he's saying to them, repent, believe, and receive the Holy Spirit. If you try using the word repent, people might not understand. But someone who says, "I just want to live a new life," in a way, they've already done that. So you've just got to say you're doing the right thing, you're on the right lines. Believe in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You might want to give them a little book and say, you might need to know a bit more. So have this Why Jesus by Nikki Gumbel. It's really good. Everybody's reading it. But what's really important is that they're filled with the Spirit. And that's what you probably need to pray for them. So you need to just say, "Can I pray that the Holy Spirit would take up residence in you too?" That might not be the language they use. Could fill your heart. Could fill your life. That's what someone did for me. This is really what's going to do it for you. Something like that. Okay? Try and work it out in your own language or in the language that they speak. But mothers give birth is a really, really important thing for us all to know that we can do. God wants a bigger family. You know, everybody wants more children. Well, not the people that don't think they can afford it. God can. God can afford as many children as he wants, and he wants more, and he wants us to help him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Okay, the second thing is, mothers comfort the hurting. Do you know, even though we are all adults here sitting around looking quite normal, I can assure you, you all look perfectly happy. All of us, there'll be times when we are nursing real hurts. I mean, we lose people. Things happen to us. And it's not just in the present. There are things happening to us now that make us sad because they hark back to something in the past. You know, circumstances around us can be grievous. There are many of us right now in this room who are hurting. And who is going to comfort us? I'll tell you this. The mother hearts amongst us will want to comfort the hurting. And the first thing we want to give them, we have two things to give our brothers and sisters who are hurting. First thing is this, time. You know, when a child falls over and hurts himself, they run to their mother and sit on their mother's lap and cry and cry and cry until it's better, and then they jump off and they go and play again. They know when it's better. They know how long it's going to take, and I've never seen a mother sit there with her child on her lap and say, "I hope this child is going to stop crying someday." Because you know they will stop when it's better, and it gets better. They just give them time and love. And that's what the Church of God, the family of God, is looking for. People who have time. Time. Time to give other people. It's one of the most precious, valuable commodities in our Western world because it's so rare. If you can give people time, you're rich. The other thing is this, experience. The experience of hardship, difficulty, pain, and trouble. See, what Paul says is this, we comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with by God when we've been troubled. If you're going through trouble right now as a Christian, thinking, why should this happen to me? Why should I have been through that terrible time as a child? Why should I be going through this now? That's probably the reason. God is training you and wanting to comfort you himself so that you will be able to comfort others. That's his mother heart in you. Mothers speak life. We need people who will speak life and hope and future into people. I mean, what Henry did this evening at the end of worship was exciting, wasn't it? When he said, actually, the Lord's spoken to me and I've got a word for two people. How many of us thought, I hope it's me? Because we knew it was going to be life-making, life-giving, life-speaking. But you see, what Henry was doing was modeling for us something that we're all supposed to be doing. Jesus said, these are my mothers. And when Paul writes about this, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, everybody who, and he calls it prophesies, that is, speaks from the Spirit of God, speaks to people, to strengthen them, encourage them, and comfort them. So when we gather here, I hope you don't just arrive, find a seat, and sit and wait, you know, for the whole thing to begin, and you're on sort of idle. I'm often on idle. I quite enjoy idle. But actually, this is a much better way to come into this group. Come in saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me about the people I'm going to see, because I know that you want to speak life into these people. What do you want to say to them? See who sticks out to you. See who suddenly sort of jumps into your face. Start praying for them on your own, silently. I mean, don't go around doing it out loud. People will think you're mad. So do it silently. Lord, what are you saying to that person? What is it you have for that person? Is there anything that you are wanting to bless them with? And if the Lord says something to you, you know, find a chance in the coffee time or, you know, when people are milling around to go and say, I've been praying for you and I think the Lord wants to bless you with this. Do you know, if we all did that in the coffee breaks and in milling time and in the, you know, the general time, we would all grow several inches every time. We'd have a very tall church. I'm not being serious about that. I'm meaning spiritually. Because we would be doing what the best mothers do. They go around saying, you're brilliant at this, you're good at that. You know, let's do it for each other. Are you up for that? It's what God wants to do. And you know, we can't afford to just leave it to Henry and Colin to hope that they'll catch you on any particular Sunday. You know, they're just modeling for us what we all should be doing. I was sitting right behind Nikki, but when I was looking forward, I saw the back of her head. And what I saw in my mind was this little beautiful Edelweiss flower flowering right low on the ground. You know, it grows in Switzerland, on top of the mountains. And it was as if suddenly it was going to grow a stalk and become really tall. And the Lord said to me, you've grown and blossomed in your gifting when you were right down low, because the Lord has been training you for hardship. That's what that little plant is, you know, it's, that's why it's right down low. It can cope with the winds, can cope with the cold. But now he's going to raise you up on a stalk, and there's new leadership coming into you. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, why don't we go around doing a bit more of that? That's what mothers do. And the last thing is teachers' wisdom. We all need some people who've been there before us who can help us with what I'm facing. So I need someone else who's been married a bit longer to help me with marriage. I need someone who's got their finances together to say, how do you do this stuff? I need someone to help me with relationships. I need someone to help me do the stuff of life. And you know, I'm not talking about someone who can stand up the front of a room and, you know, address a whole crowd and get their stuff into order. I'm just talking about people of God who will take responsibility for their own stuff and ask God to help them with it, and then allow God to use them to help other people. One by one, one to one. If you've been through something, any life skill, you could well be used to mentor or, you know, help somebody else who's a page behind you through it. Why don't you volunteer to your house group leader or one of the staff and say, is there any way I could be used to help someone one-to-one? If anybody wants some help, I'm here. I mean, you can do that in your own time. You can do it whenever it suits you. But, you know, we need people like that. That's why Jesus said, these are my mothers. And he wasn't just meaning the women. Well, I think he was at the time. But I think in his new family, he's looking for anyone who will be prepared to midwife that new life, to comfort the hurting and give them time, to be available to listen for what God might want to say and speak it out, even if you might look a bit funny, but you'll take the risk, and to help each other with life skills. You know, then we will be the family of God that's really functional and really growing and really strong when we get out there. In a way, I suppose, that's the legacy I would love to see happen here at St. Bees. That this is a place where we do family like that. Everybody plays their part. We don't just leave it to other people. Do you know, in the best family, everybody has a little role. Even the very smallest, don't they? You get the smallest trying to help with a tea towel and you give them the plastic stuff so they don't break it and all the rest of it. But you give them a little job. This is the best family, folks. And everybody has a part. There's something for you to do. And if you don't do it, then God will have to look for the second best person. Because you're the best person to do it. And he's looking for you. So I think what I want to do is this. Why don't we stand up? And we've got such a nice space in the middle here. What I'm going to say is this. If you want to just make a statement about the fact that you want to be someone who will play your part in this new family, and you want to just consecrate yourself to God, I think I just want to say, come and stand in the middle. And then you will be saying that to God, and you'll be saying, I'm up for this. Maybe it's those four things. You want to say, I want to try and commit myself to doing that, to being a person who will be like that, someone who's there for the hurting, someone who will speak out and speak life into people, someone who just help people one by one with anything I can help them with. And then I want you to come and stand in the middle here, and then or kneel if you want. If you can cope with a hard floor. And then I think I'm going to ask Henry and any of the other leadership people to come around and to bless you, because you need to be commissioned and known as part of this, and that you're important, and the Spirit of God will bless you for this. So do come and stand in this middle bit or kneel in this middle bit if you would like to consecrate yourself. I'm hesitating to say as a mother because I don't want the men to feel that they're out of this, but let's do this.